This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Silver Screen Spoilers. I'm Dave Swan, joined by another esteemed panel of guests, Mr. Kevin J. Kessler.
How's it going, Dave?
And Mr. Mike Doff.
What up?
And we're here to talk about all the big movie news, and we have two big movies that we're going to be discussing this week that came out. So,
spoiler alert,
we're going to be discussing the Lego Movie, and we are going to be discussing Monument Men. So,
well, I'm good for one out of two.
Yeah, so we're full spoiler mode, so if you are worried about having either of these movies spoiled for you, then tune into one of the other podcasts in the White Dragon Podcast Network and come on back after you've seen it.
Here, Watch the Line has been particularly good lately.
Yeah.
That's what I hear. I don't know.
I've heard 4-Minute Drill has been particularly non-existent recently.
Yes, yes. Well, Colin West he came down with a case of laryngitis, so he kind of needs his voice for that.
So, we're going to have to kick things off by acknowledging a pretty big loss in the silver screen community, and that's the loss of Oscar winner Philip Seymour Hoffman. Can't really go on without acknowledging it. It's kind of the elephant in the room.
Which is actually something that was said about Philip Seymour Hoffman when he was alive.
Philip Seymour Hoffman passed away at the age of 46, allegedly of a heroin overdose. There's still conflicting reports about that right now. There's no secret that he was interested in the drugs. So,
Jackie and I discussed this on Till Death Do Us Pod. Till Death Do Us Pod, WDPN.podomatic.com. Father of three, so, you know, it's tragic.
Yeah.
You know, 46 years old, found on Super Bowl Sunday in his Manhattan apartment, allegedly with a needle sticking out of his arm.
Yeah.
I loved him in Hunger Games.
Yeah. He was a tremendous actor. Tremendous actor's actor. Won the Oscar for Capote. He has just a resume that reads as, like, the who's who of film. The Master, Scent of a Woman, Twister, Boogie Nights, Big Lebowski, Happiness, Flawless, Magnolia, Talented Mr. Ripley, State and Maine, Almost Famous, Punch Drunk Love, 25th Hour, Along Came Polly, and the most recent Hunger Games movies.
Which, by the way, I think he only had a week left of shooting on Catching Fire. Mockingjay. Yeah, so I read the book, I don't remember him, Plutarch, having that big of a role.
Yeah, and I have no idea how they're shooting Mockingjay Part 1 and 2, if they're shooting them
They shot them as one film, I believe.
As one film.
That's what I had heard.
Yeah.
That's usually what they do when they split.
That's a cool new way to do things, though.
Yeah.
It's a cool new way to double your profits.
Yeah.
Did you mention Doubt on that list?
No, Doubt wasn't on that list.
Did you mention Red Dragon on that list?
No, which is ironic, because Red Dragon is probably one of my favorite Philip Seymour Hoffman movies.
Yeah, when he got super glued to the wheelchair.
Yes.
His tighty whities. It's actually, whenever anyone mentions Philip Seymour Hoffman, that's the image that pops into my mind. It's not a pleasant image.
No. So, So, figure we need to shout that out and reference it, and it sucks. But the show goes on. And
it's commentary by Dave.
I'm not really upset about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to
I feel bad for his kids.
Yes, I feel bad for his wife. I feel bad for his kids. I feel bad for...
It's what I say whenever anybody dies of a drug overdose. I always say I feel bad for people they left behind.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy that it happened, but at the same time, this might not be a popular thing to say. Did it to himself.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so
he could have afforded rehab if he thought he had a problem. So
I listen to a lot of talk radio now that I have to commute an hour to work, and I was on the one show with Boomer Esiason on it, and he's friends with Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he keeps calling it a suicide. That's basically what it was.
Yeah, well, well could have been.
Yeah, I mean, it's a result of decisions that he made himself. It's a result of his own decisions, And, you know, that's just what it is. So whether it's a suicide directly or indirectly, you know, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's a real somber note to start out on.
Yeah, I know.
This is a great opening game.
We'll just get that out of the way.
Like, yes, Philip Seymour Hoffman's dead.
Yeah. There's a sound bite.
Everything is awesome. Which we'll get to.
So let's see. Other movie news. All right. There's something in film called The Billionaire's Club. It's not a very loosely veiled title, but it's what happens when a film breaks $1 billion.
Okay.
And right now, only 17 films in history have broken $1 billion. But we are on the watch.
15 of them were made by James Cameron.
Yeah. We're on the watch. There is a film now that has just broken $866 million.
It's a film about snow, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, I knew
it. Disney's Frozen is now on the billion-dollar watch.
I love this movie. Listen, I'm a Disney guy.
Yes, I know, which is why I figured I'd bring it in for you to talk about, because I have not seen it.
You didn't see Frozen?
No.
Listen, folks, if you have not seen Frozen, and you're a fan of Disney animation, get out and see Frozen. Okay, because Frozen is, in my opinion, and I'm not the first person to say this. I'm actually piggybacking off something somebody else said. This is the best Disney animated film since Beauty and the Beast. And that's a lofty statement. That means it's better than Lion King. It's better than Aladdin. This is a good, good movie. This has got everything. It's got, first of all, the music is absolutely phenomenal. Like, you're going to be singing Let It Go. Idina Menzel plays Ilsa, the older sister, and she sings a song called Let It Go. Where she's basically like she has the magic, like, cold powers, and it's her that sets off the eternal winter. And before she realizes what she's done, she's finally deciding that she's not going to hide her powers anymore, and she's just going to let it go. And she sings this amazing song. You feel like you should be applauding at the end of it. It's that.
Do we need to do a spoiler alert for Frozen?
Well, we did a spoiler alert in the beginning, so
okay.
We didn't say Frozen.
Yeah. Not for Frozen.
I just want to say real quick though. Let's cut Dave a break. He's seen like 3,085 movies in the last
Yeah, but this
days.
Is a big movie. I'm shocked you didn't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll do. I mean, I'll try to do it as non-spoilery as I can.
Okay.
Frozen. Also, the thing I love the most is it picks at the. It's very much a Disney princess movie because it involves two princesses, Ilsa and Anna, and I'm sure they're both going to be inducted into the official Disney princess.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of, because when a new princess is... wow, I'm sounding really geeky here. But when a new princess is brought into the fold in Disney, they just recently did it with Merida from Brave.
Okay.
They do a big ceremony at Walt Disney World, mm-hmm. where they parade the... They bring out all the princesses, which, if I'm correct, it includes... and one of these I have huge heat with. It's Cinderella, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Jasmine... Aurora, and then you've got Pocahontas, Mulan, Rapunzel, Ariel, and Belle, and now Merida, they just put in. I got heat with Mulan because she's not a princess.
Okay. But
anyway, I digress. They do a big thing, and I'm sure you're going to see both Anna and Elsa get put in, because they're classic Disney. But they poke fun at the one thing in Disney princess movies that always gets poked fun at, which is, like, you know, the classic ones, like Cinderella and Snow White and Sleeping Beauty, the princess and the prince see each other for the first time, and boom, let's get married tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
They poked fun at it in Enchanted, and it's like, because, you know what, I will give a spoiler alert for Frozen here. If you haven't seen Frozen, fast forward or whatnot.
Okay.
There is a moment where Anna meets this guy, like, in the opening minutes, and Anna is very sheltered, and she sees him and just immediately falls in love with him, and she goes to Ilsa, who's her older sister, who's being crowned queen, and she's like, this is, I forget the guy's name, like, this is Yadi, we're getting married, and Ilsa just goes, no, you're not. Like, she's like, Anna, you cannot marry somebody you just met. And, like, she goes through this whole thing about how, like, true love, you know, like, love at first sight doesn't happen like that, and you need to, which Disney, I will give it to Disney, they have shied away from that. Ariel was the last princess that fell in love at first sight. Belle certainly didn't with the Beast, and, you know, Jasmine and Aladdin had to get to know each other first, and, you know, so they've
shown the long courtship of Jasmine and Aladdin.
Well, but it wasn't like they saw each other. Like, Aladdin saw her and was like, ooh, I want to bang that. And then, you know, they got to know each other a little bit.
And then they banged.
You know, and then they did. Oh, did they ever.
Can I just want to make a point, though, like how you say about how Mulan isn't a princess?
She's not!
Well, yeah, but technically a lot of them aren't really princesses.
They're all princesses except for Mulan.
Wait, how is Ariel a princess?
Because she's the princess of Atlantica.
Well,
her father is King Triton. That makes her Princess Ariel.
Well, I have an issue with a lot of the Disney princesses, which is once their parents die, shouldn't they be becoming queens?
This is
a reoccurring trend in some of the movies.
Well, how many of them have their parents die?
Wait, Pocahontas is a princess?
Pocahontas is the daughter of the chief, so yes, technically she's an Indian princess. No,
is Belle a princess?
Belle is a princess because she marries the prince. She marries the Beast, who is a prince.
Oh, he's a prince?
Yeah, Beast is a prince. But again, Beast's parents aren't there, so Beast technically should just be a king.
What about Rapunzel?
Rapunzel is a princess. She's the daughter of the king and queen.
Okay.
She's very much a princess.
What's the...
She's the lost princess. That's the whole point in the movie.
What's the girl... I know she's a princess, obviously, because the name of it is in the movie. But what's the black chick from Princess and the Frog?
Oh, I forgot.
She's in all those things. My niece has all these boxes.
She is a princess Tiana is also a princess because she marries a prince. She becomes a princess through marriage.
She married the frog?
Yeah, when he turns back into a prince.
So basically it was the same movie as Beauty and the Beast, then, you're saying?
Well, no, because...
No, it is. Trust me, the same thing.
It's really not, because... No, it is. She kisses the frog, and then she turns into a frog because she's not a princess.
Like, that goes against the whole old adage.
But the frog can only... Like, he can only be turned back if he kisses...
Fuck up the story, Disney.
If a princess kisses him. And she kisses him, she's not a princess, so she turns into a frog. But then when she marries him later in the episode and they kiss, like, you may now kiss your frog bride, they turn back because the second she married him, she became a princess.
When did this become the Disney movie spoiler podcast?
Well, when we started talking about Frozen. But Frozen is excellent. The songs are phenomenal. The story's phenomenal. There's a twist at the end, even.
There's a twist?
There's a twist. Okay. There's a twist. It's an M. Night Shyamalan-esque twist. And very, very memorable characters. The snowman particular is awesome.
So it needs another $144 million. I don't know. It just got its re-release. It just got its sing-along ring.
Right. And that was the thing. Like, now with the sing-along, people are still going. Like, I went to the movies today to see Lego Movie, which we'll get to. And you know, they still had at least 6 showings of Frozen today.
Yeah.
People are still going.
It's going. I hope so. I mean, if any movie that breaks $1 billion is good for the industry. By the way, production budget on that was $150 million, and it's brought in $866 already. So,
By the way, I'd like to also follow up my knowledge of Disney princess movies by just noting that I watched them with my wife, okay? So just to clear that up.
Because you didn't watch them before.
I actually didn't. I had never seen a lot of them before I met Jackie. I had seen some of them, but not all of them.
What's that smell? Dave, what's that smell?
I smell dookie.
Okay. All right.
All right. So we'll move on to some straight geek news.
Awesome.
And
oh, wait a minute. Hey. I thought you meant like straight up. I just caught that.
No, he is referencing Fuckers. You as a homosexual. Despite the ring on your finger.
Yes.
Marvel Studios has announced that Paul Bettany will be playing the Vision in the new Marvel Avengers Age of Ultron.
And he's already Jarvis.
Yes. So the person that plays Jarvis will now be Vision.
So Jarvis is basically getting a robot body.
Yep. Pretty much.
I'm glad to hear that because a lot of people thought that Jarvis was going to be Ultron. And I'm glad that he's not.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that if Tony's not going to be Iron Man anymore, I think the way you're going to get Ultron in this movie is that Tony's not Iron Man anymore, so he creates an Iron Man, and that's Ultron.
Yeah.
It's not going to be Hank Pym that makes
it. Me and Dave have discussed that. We 100% agree.
And then when Ultron turns on him, I think the only thing left to do is take an experimental, like a prototype body he was working on, and toss Jarvis into it. Because he could trust Jarvis.
Yeah. Well, I think he's going to suit back up as Iron Man.
He's absolutely going to. No, he's not going to be. Trust me, he'll be Iron Man in this a lot more than he was in Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
Tony Stark is a regular man who doesn't put on his armor at all.
The Vision now joins Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
I'm not thrilled about Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
I'm.
Because you can't make a mutant, so how are you going to explain their powers? Or do you need to explain their powers even?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you have to explain their...
I don't know. If you can't utilize them being Magneto's kids, that's the only interesting thing about Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just a Flash ripoff and, you know, girl with way too much power.
a Flash ripoff that's going to hit the screen before Flash.
Yes.
Well, that's no shock.
For more information about that, tune in next week to the Silver Screen Spoilers when we review DC Animation's
Justice League War.
So, every once in a while, I read a description about a movie coming out, and it's just so ludicrous. Just, like, there's no question whatsoever.
Movies that will suck?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to find ways to say it, that it's not a direct ripoff of
Hollywood Babylon. We can mention other podcasts on here. I'm comfortable with that.
So, Millennium Studios has officially announced that Kev, you might have seen this. Mike, I'm hoping this is going to be a pleasant surprise because this is fan-fucking-tastic. As announced, the fourth installment in the Expendables trilogy or franchise.
Oh, is this the old girl Expendable? Yeah.
The Expendables, it's called.
Oh God, I hadn't heard the title. I knew this was coming.
Is there a cast?
There is not a cast yet, other than
Ronda Rousey.
No, Cameron Diaz is allegedly attached to it.
If Lucy Lawless is in this, I'll see it. By the way,
yes, but it is called The Expendables.
Oh boy!
And there is an official plot description.
Okay, lay it on us.
Is it the same thing as what females?
Just wait. When American Navy SEALs are wiped out trying to penetrate the iron lair of a deadly despot who has captured one of the world's top nuclear scientists, it becomes clear that there is no such thing as a right man for the job, and that this is a mission so impossible that only women can handle it. The only way in, some of the world's deadliest female operatives must pose as high-class call girls shipped in by private planes to satisfy a dictator and instead save the scientist and save the day.
Why don't they just cast Cameron Diaz, Drew Barrymore, and Lucy Liu and just make another Charlie's Angels movie?
Seriously.
So I haven't heard if Sylvester Stallone is directing this.
He has to be attached to his producer, at least.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he is.
Otherwise, it's quite the ripoff. this sounds like, time to fight crime with our boobs.
Yeah, I mean...
By the way, that would make a good Disney Princess movie. Just pointing that out.
I mean, at first, I was like, okay, all right, maybe they're going to do like a female empowerment action movie.
But they're going to be dressed as whores. Shit
came out.
Yeah. All right, I don't want to see Cameron Diaz dressed as a whore anymore because she's old.
Mike, what's your thoughts on the Expendables? You're a fan of the Expendables.
I am, but I think it's a dumb idea. I think it'll probably bomb, and I think it's stupid.
It will definitely bomb.
It'll kill the series, the franchise.
Okay, but now here's the thing. Let's talk women we think should be in the cast.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Cast, who you think?
I'm going Lucy Lawless. Xena. You know.
Okay, yeah.
I would say Uma Thurman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would even go, because, you know, didn't they have UFC guys in the Expendables?
Yes.
I would go Ronda Rousey.
Okay.
I'd put her in there, see if she can act. Even if she can't, she's still badass.
Yeah. It hasn't stopped people in the Expendables.
Exactly. So.
I've seen Hit Girl's name thrown around in a couple of the...
She is not old enough for that. Isn't she still like 17?
Yeah, probably.
Chloe Grace Moretz?
Yes. I've seen her name thrown around.
And she's a good actress, though. Yeah. She can act.
I can see for one of the smaller roles, like a Michelle Rodriguez, I could see in there.
Mm. Yeah.
You know who I'd love to see? Oh, what's her name? Played Wonder Woman on the Wonder Woman TV series.
Linda Carter?
I'd love to see Linda Carter. Linda Carter. But like as a mentor kind of thing, like what Arnold was in the...
Oh, yeah, like in the... Well,
Wonder Woman!
Well, I think that's what they're missing the magic, because the magic's not going to work here.
Mm-hmm.
The magic of Expendables is that it was all like the old-timers.
But we don't, female old-timers.
So let's get Linda Carter, Farrah Fawcett, and all
we
that
back. We can't get Farrah Fawcett. She's dead.
Wait, is she really?
Didn't she die?
Oh, she might be. Yeah, she might be dead.
She had ass cancer.
That way we haven't got a Man of the House too.
That's the reason we haven't had Man of the House too.
Yeah, it was like a big story when she passed away.
Oh, well, we can bring her
pretty
back.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Lucy Lawless is a must get for that. She's not doing anything.
You know who else I think should be a must get? Ming, what's her name? She plays Agent May on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, awesome. I like her.
Yeah.
Also, maybe
Christy Swanson, because she was original Buffy.
Yeah, yes. I could see Sarah Michelle Gellar, maybe.
No, fuck her. Christy Swanson.
I like Sarah Michelle Gellar. So, back off, Mike. Well, you know, if anything, you know, if Iron Man 3 and Dark Knight Rises have taught us anything, is that men can't get the job done when it comes to kicking ass, and their girlfriends have to always step in to save the day.
Yeah.
So, and kill the bad guy. It's not time for that rant.
Oh, maybe we'll get the two most famous women superheroes of all time, Halle Berry and Jennifer Garner.
I could definitely see Halle Berry being in it.
Yeah, so could I. Jennifer Garner is probably not that forever stretch.
I just don't think they had, like, there are, like, enough old school, like, women, only, like, action type stars, you know, to be in it.
Because
like,
there never, like, used to be female action movies.
Because they belong in the kitchen.
Oh, Mike, you went there. You're supposed to skirt around it. You're not supposed to land right on it.
Sometimes you got to cut through.
All right. Well, ladies, if you want a date with Mike Dahl after this,
be sure to send your email to silverscreenspoilers@gmail.com.
All Mike Dahl hate mail can be addressed there.
Someone's got to pass Brian Brass.
All right, so we're going to move into the film review section. And
bring it on. I'm happy this week.
All right. Do we want to start with the big one or close with the big one?
Let's close with the big one.
All right. We'll start with the George Clooney magnum opus, Monuments Men.
Didn't see it. Not going to see it.
Okay.
Spoil away.
Now, I got to say about this, this was a pleasant surprise for me in the sense that I saw both these movies back to back.
Did you double feature?
Yeah.
Did you pay for both, or did you sneak into one?
No, I saw both. I paid for both.
You blew it legit?
Yeah.
Sure you did.
No, I did. I support the industry. Saw one at 10 o'clock and saw the Lego movie at midnight.
Okay.
The Monuments Men actually had a fair bit more comedy in it than I expected.
Yeah, I thought John Goodman, which I didn't even know, and now I really want to see it.
John Goodman can do serious acting. Yeah, I've seen John Goodman do some serious stuff.
Coyote Ugly. I feel confident saying that we're that with the spoilers in this movie that you know everything that's going to happen in this movie from beginning to end anyway.
Bullets happen, George Clooney smiles, everyone dies.
Now, I don't know if because two of them are in the movie, but when I saw the trailer, it just reminded me of Ocean's 11.
Yeah, I mean, of course, because George Clooney and Matt Damon are in it.
But just the
George Clooney plays the same character.
They're going undercover as what, like, they're not actually military, they're going undercover as military,
Nazis, right?
No, what happens is they are, some of them are retired military, some of them are, it's an amazing cast, you have George Clooney, you have Matt Damon, you have John Goodman, you have Bill Murray, you have just a ton of other talented actors that come and go pretty quickly in this, but some of them are retired military, some of them are just art experts that have to go through very basic military training, and it's towards the end of the German War, and Hitler.
The German War?
Or sorry, War.
Did you really just call World War II the German War?
Am I wrong?
Oh, there was a couple other people involved.
I mean, it's called World War II.
Yeah, it was a little bit more. It's not like the Korean conflict. This was a global. You know, the Japan did a couple bad things.
You know
too.
What? You know what? We're lucky he said the German War. He could have said a lot worse. And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
He likes this Dave Swanfellow. He likes to give credit for credit he's due. The Japanese stole a heat.
And basically Hitler. First of all, if you're a Hitler fan, it's not a very flattering film for him.
Well, they're isolating a huge percentage of the audience out there.
Like, you know what? I'm sure there are, but who is going out there admitting that they're Hitler fans?
Yeah, he was actually a very good painter.
Where are we going with this?
If you're I was very disappointed with the interpretation of the Fuhrer. I thought that they didn't capture his gentle side. He's a very gentle man. He loved birds.
What did Hitler ever do?
It's all overinflated. History is written by the victors.
So, Hitler has created something called the Fuhrer Museum.
Oh, God. I was really hoping, like, Hitler has created something called the Furinator. like some machine of death to rampage through through Poland with.
It is loosely based on a true story.
Yeah, this is my Furinator! I will conquer the world!
This is based on a true story, allegedly.
Uh-huh.
As advertised. So he's been stealing all of the art from every country that Germany invades.
Okay.
And
is it been, like, to create, like, the ultimate art weapon that, like, shoots mass, like...
No, it's to create the Führer Museum.
Once I have the Mona Lisa, I will be able to conquer the moon!
Keep going.
So it's up to these art purists to go and rescue all the paintings.
Are they, like, badass art purists? Are they, like...
It's George Clooney, Matt Damon.
Was this dark? Could you... This is during the war, or
this is during the war.
During the German war.
During the tail end war. Of the war
of the. The German conflict.
They had nothing more important to do than to go in there and steal the art. Were there more pressing matters?
I know, seriously.
This is kind of a subplot of it, because every time they go to the military to ask for help, they say, fuck off. We have more important things to do.
No, George Clooney's got to go steal art. Poor Anne Frank is dead.
You know what I would love? If, like, if it tied in with Captain America, and, like, you see Steve Rogers being like, we have to go rescue Bucky, and then, you know, Tommy Lee Jones is like, you're a chorus girl, I got no time for that, and then all of a sudden George Clooney walks up, we have to get these monuments! Get the hell out of my face, son. Like, they just kept Tommy Lee Jones in as his character from Captain America. I just love him as a you know, a general in the German American skirmish.
So,
I can't get over the German war.
We're never getting over the German war.
I don't know if we're gonna be able to move on. We might have to end the show right now.
Bring it home.
I don't think Dave can even talk.
So where were we?
He was trying to build his art death ray.
Oh yeah.
Military said, go fuck yourself, to George Clooney.
Repeatedly. So you find out that there's this one female that knows the location of all the art. So they send Matt Damon to basically go seduce her to find out.
Wait, didn't send John Goodman?
No.
You sent Fred Flintstone in there? By the way, I can just picture, like, listen, sir, we have to go in there and save the art. All right, son, there's a few other things we need to save first. This is my friend Ira Goldberg. He's going to tell you a few things that are going on in Germany right now that are a little bit more important than some paintings. Like, come on! How do you even make this argument to the military?
Well, the argument is made repeatedly that...
Him and 5,999,999 of his friends are having a bit of a bad time right now and maybe need our attention a little bit more than the Louvre.
There is no argument that you can made this way. My opinion, I know it's over, but you can ask my opinion. The art is not as important as all the people that are over in the concentration camps.
Well, no, listen. If you destroy the people, they will come back. If you destroy their accomplishments...
Please tell me George Clooney makes this point in the movie.
No, what?
Does George Clooney make this point in the movie?
Twice. This speech happens twice. If you destroy the people, they will come back. If you destroy their accomplishments, it's like they never existed. So that is the reason why they have to save the art.
The people aren't coming back.
This isn't Jesus Christ in a resurrection.
Oh my, what is he? Does he play Super Mario Brothers and think that, like, that's life? Like, you got another life! It's not game over yet. Oh, this is... I know it's not actually George Clooney making this point to the U.S. military, but it makes me hate George Clooney more than I
think that's what makes it worse.
Yeah.
I think it's George Clooney.
Well, he makes it once to the military.
I could just see him with his smug face, like, talking about the art, and it just... Oh, it makes me so mad. Holy shit. I'm so angry right now.
And George Clooney wrote, directed, produced this movie. And in his defense, he's actually not in it all that much. He only shows up to give these big speeches, and then he kind of disappears.
Oh, so he doesn't even go to get the art?
No, he does. He does, but he puts the focus on the other characters.
We need to risk our lives and our men to get these doodles back. Now, you guys over there, go get them.
Yeah.
I'll be over here behind this lead shield.
And in case you're wondering, of the monument men... There are Monuments Men. Sorry. There are 8 of them, I believe, where they start. 2 of them get killed in the process.
Is Bill Murray one of them?
What's that?
Bill Murray die?
No. No. None of the important ones.
Ah.
Eventually, they crack Hitler's master code and find out where they're being stored in these mines.
Oh, so it's like a Da Vinci code as to where he's keeping them all?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I will tell you where they are if you can answer these riddles 3.
This sounds like a horrible movie.
So, they start finding... They're in these mines. They're like potassium mines and different things like that. And now here's where you get to the point where I'm kind of like, I feel like they're taking some liberties here with this movie. Because they find a mine, and it's filled with it. So they get the military to take all the yard out. And it's like 16,000 paintings in each mine. And they have the military go and remove them one by one.
Oh, my God.
So eventually they find a mine that's filled. And they stumble upon a room in the mine that has something like 100,000 tons of Nazi gold. It has all the Nazi money. So they take
all the Nazi money. Do you care now?
They take all the Nazi money, and that's what cripples the Nazis and ends the war.
Get the fuck out. So George Clooney wins the German war?
Yeah, and his hunt for gold.
Wow. This is why we use the term loosely based on a true story.
If this gold was guarded by Scrooge McDuck, it would not be enough to make me want to see this fucking movie.
Yeah. And the thing is, none of these mines, even the one with the entire Nazi surplus of gold, is guarded by any Nazis.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
None of them. Including the one that's locked up with all the...
Hitler's leaving all his Nazi gold just out in the open.
No, they're hidden in mines.
Oh, they're hidden in mines. That's great.
No one will ever think to look for some underground.
Yeah. And Hitler kind of sort of has... You never see Hitler. You only see like the back of Hitler's head.
It's like in Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Where...
By the way, he was doing something worthwhile during during the German-American skirmish.
So that's Monuments Men. If you want to see it, go check it out.
What do you rate it on 1 to 10? Or you want to do a 4-star rating? Or
no, we'll do on a scale of 1 to 10. I'll give it a 7.
7, okay.
Yeah. Can't get over the
German war. Holy shit!
Back to it.
Oh my god! It's the big. The big one! WW2!
The German War.
German War. The Japanese people are so mad at Dave right now.
Dave loves Japan.
Yeah.
Does he?
Oh, God, yeah. That's it. That's for the 4 more minute drill when that comes back. If it comes back. So, the other movie, the actual big movie that came out this week is the Lego movie.
Yes! I saw this earlier today.
Alright. You want to take the wheel of this?
I loved this movie.
Is Hitler in it?
No. There was the...
everybody else is.
Everybody but Hitler is in this movie. So this movie was so chock full of humor. I mean, it was laugh from start to finish. I loved Emmett, the main character. The brilliance of this movie is, you know, Lego has evolved over the years.
With oddly enough, this is going to contain a lot more spoilers than the actual than Monuments Men did.
Yeah. The Lego movie has, like, Emmett is a very generic, like if you got a construction site Lego set, Emmett would be like the third construction worker in the bunch. Like, he's got a very generic face, no expressive eyes or anything like that. And I thought it was brilliant to make him the main character of the film. Mm-hmm. And just the never-ending gags were just hysterical. Like, based on... And if you've played with Legos, you know exactly what this is like. Because you can have the... you have the people that like to just be creative with the Legos and just build. Or you have people that follow the instruction manual to a T. And basically in the big city where Lord Business rules...
Lord Business played by Will Ferrell.
Played brilliantly by Will Ferrell, by the way.
Voiced by Will Ferrell.
No, played by Will Ferrell. We'll get to that. You know, it was really... I thought the movie had a message, too, which was great.
Yeah.
The message of, you know...
A very different moral for a movie.
Yeah, it's like, don't conform. It was all about the individual and imagination. And I was that kid, the kid who colored outside the lines and threw the instruction manual out and just wanted to be creative and, like, make things like that. So the movie even spoke to me on an emotional level, which I was not expecting. I was there because Batman was in the movie.
Yeah.
And, oh, was Batman ever in this
Wait,
movie?
Did you cry?
No, I didn't cry. There was no crying moment.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
Batman is in this movie more than Batman is in Dark Knight Rises.
He's a dick. He is such a dick in this movie. Oh, Batman's awesome. And, you know, and I think...
Batman's played by Will Arnett.
Will Arnett. Joe Bluth plays Batman, which is phenomenal. That's from Arrested Development.
Will Arnett played...
Yeah, Will Arnett does the voice of Batman. Just to go through the rest of Justice League real quick, Channing Tatum does the voice of Superman. Chiwetel Hill does the voice of Green Lantern.
Oh, can I just say the Superman-Green Lantern interactions, while brief and you know, like, sparing, were hysterical.
Yeah.
Because it was just, like, Green Lantern would be, like, pestering Superman, like, wanting to be his friend, and Superman wants nothing to do with the Green Lantern.
And, the Avengers, Colby Smulders is the voice of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, she only has most of them only have a couple lines.
Dang it!
But continue.
The basic story of the movie is that Lord Business steals this sacred artifact called the Craggle.
The Craggle.
We don't see what the Craggle is at first. Craggle has the ability to allow Lord Business to destroy the Lego universe. The Lego universe is kind of a multiverse where it's all these different worlds that are separated. And the master builders are the ones that don't adhere to the instructions, and they just build. They just build random things that their imagination allows them
Emmett?
To. Emmett is not a master builder. Emmett starts out as just one of the many citizens of the Brick City. Not the Brick City. Not to be confused. But I don't even remember the name of the actual city. But he is. He finds this this big red block, which is known as the piece of resistance, the piece de resistance. And it adheres himself to his back, which means that he's the chosen one, chosen by in this whole thing by Morgan Freeman, who plays like this old like blind Lego wizard.
Of course, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. Man. So Emmett is the chosen one. He's known as the special, and they have to go through and Emmett, you know, they have to find the Craggle and put the piece de resistance on the Craggle to seal it so that Lord Business can't use it to destroy the world.
Tell me that the Craggle is actually the last, is it
the Craggle
of the Aggro Crag?
No, No, the Craggle is actually a tube of crazy glue where over the Z and the Y and like the L and the U. Is like smudge, so it just says instead of crazy glue, it says Craggle, and Lord Business is using it to like stick the Lego people like in place because like
so they can't move,
so you can't like break it apart and make something new. So you're only allowed to make what the instructions tell you to make, and then he glues it all together like people that want to make their Legos.
What an evil bastard!
I know, right? And so we go through this whole adventure with all the Master Builders. The Master Builders include... some of them include Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman.
Michelangelo,
which, by the way, in the theater I was in with the little kids,
yeah.
Michelangelo got the biggest pop, which I was super happy
for. Like Michelangelo the Ninja Turtle?
Yeah, Michelangelo the Ninja Turtle.
Michelangelo the painter.
Yeah. Dumbledore and Gandalf right next to each other, which I thought was hysterical.
Yeah.
Because they kept...
They confuse each other.
Morgan Freeman was mixing them up, like which one was Dumbledore and which one was Gandalf. Then you had like random pirates. You had the classic 80s Lego astronaut who became one of the main characters, and he's obsessed with building the spaceships. But then like all of Lord Business's artifacts were all like human world stuff.
And the knife Axe Zero.
Yeah, yeah. like an X-Acto knife, and they all had like different names and stuff like that. Really, really funny, really clever. And eventually when Emmett falls through like the portal from the world, you see it's actually a little kid playing with his father's Lego set, like a real life kid. And the father walks down and it's actually Will Ferrell. And you find out that the Master Builders are the kid playing with his dad's like super glued Lego set. And it's all about the father doesn't want the kid to play with it because, you know, he's messing up perfection. He's messing up what's supposed to be there, but the kid just wants to be imaginative. And they use that as a way to, like, identify with Emmett as this kid. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was touching. It was brilliant. It was an awesome twist.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just, when they mentioned the man upstairs and like the hands that come out of the sky.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be something with our world. I wasn't really, and it was awesome. Like, you know, Emmett was able to move in the human world a little bit because he like willed it to happen. But yeah, it's funny from beginning to end. Had a really interesting romance story in there. Characters that were well fleshed out and complex. And set up for a sequel at the end.
Yes.
Because the father, Will Ferrell, ends up like building with the kid, and they take everything apart, and they're being imaginative. And he says, well, you know, now that I'm letting you play, you know, we have to let your sister play too. And then in the Lego world, you see like these like girly, like
little Duplo bars.
Yeah.
They're the big Duplo blocks, like preschool blocks.
And they're like, we're here to destroy you. And so like, that's what the sequel's going to be. That's absolutely incredible.
Is it
going to
merge with the Expendables?
I hope so.
But they're definitely going to get a sequel out of this, because
they've already it was greenlit before this even hit.
Oh, good, because they knew it was a strong show.
And there's so many cameos. There's a Star Wars cameo.
The best moment of the entire movie. They're looking for a spaceship, and they're like, "Well, the spaceship's not going to just fly in here." And all of a sudden, the Star Wars theme hits, and the Millennium Falcon swoops in, and Lando Calrissian, actually played by Billy Dee Williams, is in the cockpit with Han and Chewie. Yeah. It was absolutely hysterical.
Yeah, Billy Dee Williams plays Lando Calrissian. Anthony Daniels plays
C-3PO. Yes, yeah, Anthony Daniels. Well, that's not a surprise. Anthony Daniels. I could do a Star Wars play in my backyard, and I could do a Star Wars play in my backyard, and Anthony Daniels show up with C-3PO.
Yeah. The only one that they had a voice double for was Han Solo.
Yeah, Harrison Ford was
Han Solo. Was like,
it sounded like him.
Yeah, it sounded dead.
Yeah, really a great movie. I mean, everything from the humor to the message was just spot on. Mm-hmm. Couldn't have liked it anymore. And including a song that's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of my life. Yeah. Everything is awesome.
I went on iTunes, and the album has like four versions of it, including like an uncensored version.
What?
Like an uncensored version, an instrumental version, and an acoustic
everything
version.
Everything is fucking awesome. Like,
Uncensored, I'm sure it's probably the exact same song.
Yeah, but my favorite was when they're dressed up as robots. And just like, I don't know why this stuck with me so much, but Emmett and Wild Style are dressed up as robots, and the robots are coming in, and Emmett's like, "Hello, where can we find the Craggle?" And you know, Wild Style is doing her voice. She's like, "Yes, where?" And he's like, "Your robot voice does not sound like a robot voice." And she's just like, "Well, what do you expect? I've never been a robot before." And all the robots just look, and he's like, "What are you talking about? Yes, you have." Like, I thought that was absolutely hysterical.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to make a ton of money. It's on pace to do about $60 million domestic this weekend. So, I mean, it's gonna be huge. And we were talking about how it's going to, you know, it could breathe some life into Warner Brothers animation.
Yeah.
Finally.
I think so. The smartest thing they did was put Batman in it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I saw it because Batman was in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love the Lego video games. I love the Lego sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lego has a very, like, adult-oriented sense of humor. Not adult as in inappropriate, but adult as in, like, humor that, like, what we discussed last week. Humor that both adults and kids will get.
Yeah.
Anything else?
All right, I think that's it for the Lego movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I would give it a perfect 10. It was there was nothing I disliked about this film.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty close.
I read one review that said it was a skosh too long, but I don't agree with that.
I don't even know what a skosh is. A
skosh is like a very little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
It was only an hour 40.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't in there with, I mean, I didn't bring little kids there, so I
well,
mean,
the theater
I
that we were in was
that's full probably kids. A good thing.
Yeah, well,
you saw it at midnight, so there were no little kids in that theater. But like, we went 11 a.m. this morning, and
So how were the little kids? Did the kids get rambunctious towards the end? Or
no,
anything?
They were all watching. They were all into it.
Yeah. So I mean, if the little kids are holding out,
there was this one moment in the theater where we were watching like AMC, like they've now gone all in on this like little red dot floaty head thing.
Yeah.
And they're watching it, and they're doing like a clip for like their slushies or something like that. And it's just like, they're doing like a fake award show, and it's like, and voted most delicious beverage of 2014, the slushy, and this kid behind us goes, yeah! Like, Jackie and I started cracking up, because it's like this kid like had his hopes set. I go, come on, slushy, come on, slushy. I was laughing so hard. I will remember that till the
did
day.
Did you think if they would have been like, Coke, it could have been like, oh,
slushy was robbed!
Little kids start throwing slushies at the screen and
we would have gotten on his little kid blog and been like, you know, got on his little kid podcast and bitched about it like it was Monument Men.
Oh, Monument Men.
Oh, Monument Men may set a new precedent as to what I feel is a bad movie. I've never seen. I don't even have to see it. And you know, the scoring was even good too. Like, everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the music was great. The voice cast. I mean, it's probably a voice cast that makes Billy West want to shoot himself in the face. Billy West, the voiceover guy, he's done a lot of work for like a lot of big shows. He was the voice of Stimpy on Ren and Stimpy, Fry and Captain Zap Brannigan, and Doug and Roger Klotz on Doug. He gets really bent out of shape when celebrities do voice acting because he just takes it away from the actual voice actors. But you know. Celebrities have discovered long ago that this is an avenue where they can make lots of money for doing no work.
Yeah, very little work.
Eddie Murphy has a voice recording studio in his house. So, like, when he does Shrek, he just goes into his basement, records it, and sends it in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, he probably, like, Skypes with the director while doing it. So the director can give, like, pointers and direction and whatnot. But, you know, these actors have realized this is a huge payday for very little work.
Yeah.
You come in sweatpants and a flannel and just and just do it. I'm sorry, my voice is starting to go. We've done four shows today.
Also opening this weekend was Vampire Academy.
Oh, which, we missed this.
I did not see it. I haven't heard anything about
it. Oh, come on, Dave. You know it was a triple feature and you were right there with the tweens watching Vampire Academy.
But that would have been one that you snuck into.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, if I snuck into one, it would have been Vampire Academy.
Do we have confirmation yet on whether or not it's a school for vampires or whether it's a school that helps you fight vampires?
No, I
think it's just a school. I don't think it's a... I saw a lot of trailers of it. And from what I gathered from the trailer is that it's just a regular academy, and then there happens to be vampires there. Is that correct? Like, that's what I got.
I still don't know.
Dave, you're a resident expert on Vampire Academy. You know about as much about Vampire Academy as you know about the German American the German American conflict.
I think it was called the German American scuffle.
Yes, skirmish. Oh my god. But so you know, we got a little bit of time left. Let's talk about. If I may, what's your favorite World War II era movie? We're actually going to use the real name of the historical war this time. What do you think is a great World War II movie?
Captain America: First Avenger.
Oh, see, I love that one, Mike. What do you think?
I can't even think of any right now.
Saving Private Ryan or mine's Indiana Jones.
I don't know the wars.
I love Indiana Jones. I think that's a great.
I don't really like war movies.
Nazis. Hate these guys. I told you all you need to know. Indiana Jones isn't like Nazis, neither do I. I was a kid, so I didn't really know what a Nazi was yet. Nazis and snakes. Don't like either of them because Indiana Jones doesn't like them.
You've seen Captain America or First Avenger.
Yes.
You have to have seen Saving Private Ryan.
Well, I've seen it too, but I didn't really like it.
I didn't like it either.
I'm not a big war movie guy.
Not a Spielberg guy, Dave?
No, I'm not a Spielberg.
Me neither.
I think Spielberg's vastly overrated.
Can I count Clerks too? Because they talk about Anne Frank?
Yes.
Then the Clerks
too. Even Anne fucking Frank can see that. Clerks 3 on the horizon. You excited about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I am too. Kevin Smith's gotten weird with his movies now, where it's like everything he's making is like, this is for me. Like, I'll do Clerks for you, but the rest of this is all for me. Like the Walrus movie.
And because he needs to make the Clerks movie to make money so he can do the movies for himself.
Like the Walrus movie and the Kaiju Jesus movie.
First of all, the Walrus movie's for everybody, because that's going to be fantastic.
I can't wait for that. If Quentin Tarantino was actually going to play the guy in the Walrus costume, like originally, apparently he's not.
Yeah, no, Justin Long is the guy.
That's weird.
I mean, look, if you're Kevin Smith and you're, you know, a podcasting juggernaut, I mean, you don't need to make movies anymore.
No. He's doing it for fun, and I commend him for it.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy's got it figured out. He's got a TV show where he has to do the barest minimal amount of work for. He shows up for one day to film an intro and an outro and make one appearance per season in the store.
Yeah.
And then that's it. He's got the same outfit every day.
Yeah.
You know, that guy's got the life, man. He's not so much of a celebrity that the paparazzi hound him, except for when he got thrown off the plane.
Yeah.
And he just podcasts all day long. It's phenomenal.
You can make a good living podcasting. You're figuring that out.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to figure that out.
Sherry's berries.
You know, with Kevin Smith, I realized something the other day where Kevin Smith talks on Smodco about how he's on five shows a week.
Yeah.
I was like, crap, I'm on seven now. I'm on seven of the eight.
You're not on seven yet. You keep saying that, but you haven't rolled out all seven.
Well,
yet.
Yeah, I have three more to roll out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once so, all seven have rolled out, then
they're filming next. They'll be filming next weekend.
And okay. I'm not the hope. I'll kind of say I don't think you'll ever be on the 4 minute drill.
Maybe when you talk about the Olympics, because I do watch the Olympics.
We don't talk about the Olympics.
Yeah.
We discussed that last week, and that's probably as far as we're going to discuss.
You can hear me briefly on the 4 minute drill when I yell at you guys for being inappropriate.
I'm never inappropriate.
No, never. Huh. 4 minute drill, the only show I had to actually edit. So, movies and TV.
Is there anything else on our format?
Anything coming on TV that you're excited about?
Bill Paxton on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming up.
Yes.
I'm excited about
and they're
that.
Putting Sif on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too. That might be enough to make me watch. This past Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., everybody's raving about it.
I enjoyed it.
So like,
you saw it, the Deathlock episode,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. The show that keeps getting better, a.k.a. it's better than it was, folks. Give it another chance. Because people like me stopped watching.
I don't even really know it much, but I just started getting into superhero movies and that kind of stuff, you know, recently.
Yeah, I heard about that. I'm very happy to hear you finally
So I don't really know. I don't know what Deathlock is, but I just mark for like this little thing that they did. Like, I don't know. I just...
Not many people know who Deathlock is, and the fan response of utter geek out, like nerdgasm over Deathlock. I'm like, you people don't know who Deathlock is. I barely know who Deathlock is.
Well, I'll tell you
is.
How I know how all these things are. What I immediately do after I watch, I always DVR it, and I'll pause and I'll go on the Marvel Wiki and I'll just look at these people. And then when I can't get a straight answer, I text Dave and he explains to me who these people are. But
yeah, I try my best to explain Deathlock, but my Deathlock.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah,
I the best I explained it to him was he was a really big deal in the 90s, mm-hmm. and then
so like, I had like a trading card of him.
Yeah,
Terminator is how you I think you described him.
Yeah.
Today. But see, I think it's
see, I'm a Joss Whedon guy. I was big into Buffy. I'm big into Angel. I hated Firefly.
Never well, all eight episodes of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, hated Firefly and didn't really like Dollhouse. I didn't watch Dollhouse, but when I first watched S.H.I.E.L.D., I was just like, ugh, like it's very like I've seen all this before from Joss, and I know you guys didn't really watch his stuff, mm-hmm. so you don't really know. Like Skye is every female character he's ever written. Skye is unbearable. She's not the most unbearable female character on TV. That still goes out to our favorite. Frickin' cunt, that would be over on Arrow.
Laura Lana Lang Lance.
Yeah. But Skye, I can't get into her. And I feel like America agrees with me. I know you like her.
She's also really hot, so that's for the reason I like her.
Yeah, but so is the female in the Fitzsimmons.
Yeah, she's hot too.
And she's got the English accent, and I like that.
Yeah.
So and is Agent May.
May is not ugly either. May's
no,
pretty
May.
Hot.
And it seems to me, like from what I'm hearing, even though I'm not really watching that much, that Agent May is really kind of taking the lead now. Like it's becoming more
I
a show
think
about
she's,
Agent May.
Yeah, she's kind of like, I mean, obviously it's all Coulson's show, but May is.
But is it Coulson's show, though? Because Coulson seems to just kind of be like the Charlie of the group, and maybe he doesn't see as much action.
He's still
the main character.
But now they're building up to what me and Dave were talking about. I don't know if you're familiar with all the characters. Agent Ward.
Yeah.
They've been up to his like, you know, heel turn.
Heel turn?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
That's the way it looks like to me, at least.
Well, that would be interesting because Agent Ward was another character people were not happy with. Because in the beginning of the show, it seemed like it was Ward and Skye. That was your duo. That was your guys. This is like your CW-esque tween obsession couple that you're supposed to pine endlessly over and root for them to get together. But I was not having it because Skye is annoying and generic. And, you know, when I'm a lone wolf, I can't work with anybody. I work alone, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, I've seen it, Joss. Enough. I can't handle it. But now I've heard that he's starting to get involved with May.
Oh, not starting. He's involved with it.
Yeah.
They fuck.
They blow off steam after missions.
Oh, yeah. And they already told Coulson about it. And that's what the thing is now. Now, like, they had, like, a little, like, innuendo, I guess, about Coulson and May. something like that. Or
I can see there's ten.
But I don't think there's anything. But I think like it had Ward walk in on it, and like they were, like he was like, you know, May got like cut or something, and Coulson was repairing her, and Ward walked in. You could kind of see the tension.
Yeah.
And you kind
of so they've given up on the whole Ward and Sky thing.
Oh yeah, that's yeah. gone. And then the whole thing was at the end of the toward the end of the episode where Sky. We were doing spoilers for S.H.I.E.L.D. now, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, at the end where Sky is almost dead, we don't know if she's alive or dead. Well, she's obviously she's probably gonna live, but
of course she's gonna live.
Where May and Ward are talking, and you know May takes his hand and says, "Oh, you know, you can't blame yourself for this," and he says, "No, I don't. I don't blame myself." Obviously, he's talking. He blames Coulson. That's what I got from it.
Joss doesn't kill characters that people hate. He only kills the ones you love.
Yeah. But Dave, you want to chime in on that? Like, am I on with that? Or
no? I mean, I don't. There's definitely teasing. I definitely see where you're coming from, and I haven't been able to figure out if the guy that's playing Agent Ward, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, if he's playing him so intense that like it's coming off that way, or if that's actually where they're going. I mean, in the show, there's definitely like he's definitely building attachments towards Agent May, and there's no doubt about that. He's just a dick to put in her hole for Agent May. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's like I had a rough day, fuck me, and then get out of my face for Agent May. So I mean, I'm curious. I'm curious enough to see where it's going. I just hope that if he does turn and if he does die, Coulson gets the kill shot.
Yeah, but do you think he might turn and then like turn into some type of, you know, villain, superhero villain?
I can't see them turning him heel, to be honest. I don't know.
I mean, weirder things have happened. That's I mean, they true. They can do whatever they want. He's a creation of the show,
right?
So they can. I mean, it's not like they have to worry about it.
What do you think of the possibilities of ever seeing an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Other than Coulson, cast member Shelpins in the movies?
I hope so. I mean, I really do. I even if it's just like
I'd mark for seeing like May on the Helicarrier or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Coulson should be even just very briefly in one of the new Avengers movies.
Yeah,
and even if you just see him getting off the bus, the plane. And then you see the other cast members there. I mean, that's what they call it on the show.
See, I would just mark out if, like, just had, you know, something, you know, one of the Avengers movie where they had to analyze something happened, something from a mysterious world they have to analyze, and all of a sudden, like, they just, you know, cut to a scene and Fitzsimmons are just there just, you know, analyzing whatever it is.
Instead of just making it random S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, why not?
Scientists make just them, make it Fitzsimmons.
Well, you know, the answer to that is because it's a bigger payday.
Yeah,
but it would give it. But I guarantee, though, if they did that, it would get a big, you know, pop from the crowd.
And it might make people watch the show more now, seeing, like, you know. The problem I get, have they fixed it up a little bit where it's not so much like, hey, I was talking the other day to Steve Rogers, you know, Captain America, like where they're just like so heavy-handedly throwing movies in your face.
The only
like,
ones they really they obviously they're gonna throw a lot more Thor because obviously they're gonna
Sif is gonna be on the show,
yeah,
right?
and they had the fallout from Thor,
the fallout from Thor,
wasn't really having much.
I watched that Thor episode and it wasn't anything.
Yeah, nothing at all. But they reference Fury a lot, obviously, but they have to. Yeah.
I think Maria and Hill should
Stark.
Become...
Stark, they reference all the time.
I think Maria Hill should become, now that How I Met Your Mother is ending and she'll have time, I think she should be a more constant presence on the show.
They did one really funny gag this week on it where Ward and Coulson got thrown off a train and they were frozen. They were like paralyzed momentarily and they didn't realize it.
Oh.
So it looked like the train disappeared. And they were trying to figure out, because they didn't realize time passed. Oh. It just looked like it disappeared. So they were like, how did the train just disappear? And Ward's like, maybe it's a portal. And Coulson's like, I hope not. I have no patience for Asgard today.
That's awesome.
So that's like the Asgard nonsense is like, actually grinds on Coulson in the show. So, all right, I think we're
good.
We're wrapping up.
Yep.
All right. So I hope everybody enjoyed the show. Kev, you want to do the other show plugs?
Hit the plugs. All right, folks. We thank you so much for listening to Silver Screen Spoilers here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. If you enjoyed it, we only ask that you tell a friend, tune someone else into the show. As the audience grows, we can get more and more. We want to get some interviews in here. We want to reach out more into the world of the cinema of the silver screen. And also be sure to check out our other great podcasts here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. We got Watch the Line, our pro wrestling talk. You can find that at watchthelinewdpn.podomatic.com. Current events and pop culture news, you can find me and my wife Jackie, Till Death Do Us Pod. You can find that at tilldeathdouspod.wdpn.podomatic.com. If you're a fan of the TV show Arrow, are you a DC guy, not a Marvel guy? You can check out our review show, the hit CW series Arrow. It's me and Kevin Clark bringing it to you. It's called Leon U. That's the name of the island that Oliver Queen is on in the show. So that's going to be found at leonuwdpn.podomatic.com. 4 Minute Drill, you can find Mike Dahl over there with Colin West, whenever the heck that comes back. Number 4MinuteDrill.podomatic.com. I think that's it, guys. Swan, you want to take us home with social media plugs?
That's right. Be sure to hit us up on Twitter, SS Spoilers on Twitter. And if you want to send us an email, shoot us an email, silverscreenspoilers@gmail.com. And until next time, for Mike Dahl, for Kevin Kessler, I'm Dave Swan, and we will see you at the cinemas.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.